Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Samach Hei. Shkoyach. And we're holding six lines from the top of the Amid where the Gemara begins. Avol Amru Chachamim Kol Oif. Now, to understand the Braisa which we're going to learn, it will be kedai to take a quick look back at the Mishnah that we had on Nun Tes Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah begins with the Simonim of the kosher and non-kosher animals and Chayos and Oifos. Nun Tes, that's 59a. Middle of the Yomish, where it says in the Mishnah, Simunei Behema V'chay Nemu Min HaTorah. The Simunei Behema V'chay says, Befeinu Shu HaTorah. You have a Maligera, you have a Mafris Parsa, it chews the cud, it has split hooves. We all know that. Simunei Oif Loi Nemu. Simunei Oif do not say in the Torah. However, the Chachamim had a Masorah about that. Av Omru Chachamim, that word called Oif HaDoires Tomei. Anytime you see an oif which is doires, what exactly means doires? So Rashi in the Mishnah said doires means that it goes and pounces on its victim, picks it up in the air, and takes it away. If you look at the Rashi, a little bit higher up on the Amid Nun Tes Amid Aleph, second Rashi in the Mishnah, HaDoires Hu Oiches B'Tziparnav, he grabs the victim with its claws, Umagbiyam in a karki, makes a hagba, Masha Oichel, what he eats. Takes it off and takes it away somewhere else. That's the Rashi. A little bit later, it says a little bit differently, but this is Rashi in the Mishnah. Kol oif adoiris is tamim. Then the Mishnah continues on. Kol sheyesh loy etzba yaseira v'zefek v'kar kabonai niklaf is tar. To go and show the simoni tahara by an oif, it has to have an etzba yaseira, an extra finger. V'zefek, it has to have a crop. V'kar kabonai niklaf means that the pipik can be easily peeled by taking off the membrane which is embedded there in the korkabon. If you remember, we had a shail in the Gemara about eight oifois where it was korkaboni niklaf al yedei sakin, whether that's also considered to be sufficient. That was the Gemara in the Yemen base. Anyway, the blazerim tzadik oimer kol oif hachilik es raglov is tomei. What means oif chilik es raglov? So Rashi explained, we're going to see this in Yet Shem in the Gemara. Rashi about four or five lines into the Mishnah, the Farish B'Gemara, Shekishamam Nidoi Alachut. If you go and take this bird and have it walk on top of the Chut HaMeshicha, that's a measuring line. Noisinshteyatz, Bois Mikan, Ushtein Mikan, he splits his claws, two on this side, two on the other side, that's a simon that it's Tomei. Because were it to be Tohar, then it would be three on one side, one on the other side, like we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, says Rashi, right, to Tomei B'Yaduah Doiris, then you know for sure that it's a Doiris Tikkus. In other words, not that it's two and two, that's the Simon, it just shows you that that is a Raya, that this fowl does foul acts, that it is a Doiris, it goes and preys on its victims, grabs them, pulls them up, etc. Okay, so now we had in the Mishnah about the Oif HaDoyres is Tomei. We had the different Simonim, the Etzma Yisera Zefek. We had the Chulik Es Raglav. Now the Gemara on Samachay takes this halacha of the Mishnah, these halachas of the Mishnah, and expands upon them somewhat. Tanya, Ram Gamliel Oimer, Doyres V'Oichel, if you find a bird, which, like Rashi said, goes and pounces on its victim and grabs it, and its magbia minakarka brings it up into the air and then eats it. Then you know for sure it's tummy. Yishvei etzmi seder zefik mikorkaboni niklav biyadua shehu tohar. Now, what happens if they're both together? In other words, you have an oif that, on the one hand, it's a doyres v'oichel, it's a bad bird. On the other hand, it has all of these kosher simanim. So, what happens then? So our Gemara doesn't tell us. However, Rashi tells us very clearly. If you look at Rashi, the second line from the top, Hachi Yosinan Yeshli Etz V'Yisayit Ezefik K'moni Miklav Yidushu Tar is a Rashi. V'Reisha Samach. It's going back in the Reisha. The Tana Leida Reb Gamliel said in the Reisha, Koloif Adoiris Tamei, says now the Braiser, Dim Einoi Doireis, V'Yeshli Oid, Shloisha Simonim, Dehavlu Arba, B'Yidushu Tar. So you know when it's Tar, when you have the 3 plus 1, the 3 positive simonim of the extra etzba, the zefik, and the korkabon in your club, and you have the absence of derisa, then you have 4 simonim altogether, then it's kosher. It's mashu from the Rashi, that if it has these 3 simonim, but it's still a dores for ochel, then it's tamei, and you cannot eat from it.
Didn't we have that if it has one of the simoni tara, if it would say less than 24, it was kosher?
We have that they have them in the Gemara. Okay. The Gemara ultimately concluded that we learned from Nesher that Nesher doesn't have any, and you have to have all four. Or even if it were to have one or two or three, then you have to be makir bishmoisein of all of the
species.
Of all the species to know for sure that they're not one of those that has the one, the two, the three, etc. But if you have all four, then you're guaranteed you know for sure it's kosher. That blows up a tzaddik oimer. Moischel lechut shel mashicha. You go and take such a measuring line, and you have the foul walk on it. Imchilikas raglav shtayim lekan shtayim lekan. Like Rashi said in the Mishnah, two and two, it's tamei. Shalish lekan, the ask lekan, three and one, then it's tar. Good.
And it has the other three simanim tara as well.
The blows up a tzaddik doesn't focus on the other simanim. We only know about this simon. It goes and splits it. The Rashi in the Mishnah said that the fact that it's 2 plus 2 is a simon that it's a dores. So therefore, if Reb Shimon Elazar learns like the Tanakama, the way Rashi just learned, even though it's a dores, not even though, if it's a dores, even if it has the other three simonim, it's not going to be tohar, it's going to be tamei, because the fact that it's dores, that trounces and that supersedes the three kosher simonim. That's clear that that's what the Tanakama holds. Whether Reb Shimon Elazar also agrees with that, it doesn't say clearly in our Gemara. Could very well be. He's just defining, or is he just trying to identify a doitus? You don't have to go and see the bird. Actually act like a hawk and a vulture and go and grab its poor victim. If you see it's two and two, then you know already it's a doitus. So it could very well be, even though it has the other three kosher simonim, it would still be no good, not kosher. Jogti Gemara Vaita, Reb Shimon Elazar, I'm calling the Koilet Mina Avir. Oh, Reb Shimon Elazar, I'm calling the Koilet Mina Avir Tomei. That means Koilet Mina Avir. Koilet Mina Avir means that if you go and throw a piece of ma'achol to it, right, the bird is standing there, and you throw him a piece of bread, piece of matzah, piece of meat, whatever you throw to it, and it's kol to letech piv. That means the bird opens up its mouth and goes and eats it mit habrucha unabrucha. If it's oif a kolim and avir, it's tamei. Why? Because a kosher bird would go and put it down on the ground, as we'll see in another moment. So you use a knife and fork. Anyway, so if you kolim and avir, it's tamei. Frank Dimara, Tzipras Anami Miklat Kolta. There is a famous kosher bird, says Rashi, famous, and in that time, Makirin Hoyu, says Rashi, that the Tzipras bird was a kosher bird. And guess what? If you go and throw food to it, it also goes and Miklat Kolta. It has a good catch, it has a good glove, and catches the food, not on a bounce, but on a fly. So why don't you say that that's also trade? Because it's Miklat Kolta, says the Gemara. When do you say that it's treif, that it's a non-kosher bird, that after the animal, not the animal, the bird catches it in its beak, catches it in its mouth, it doesn't put it down, but immediately eats it. Masha Enkin, the Tzipras, a bird, is a much idler bird. After catches it in its mouth, he puts it down for a second or two. According to Shaul, he takes then a fork and a knife, amach d'shayna brucha, maybe washes his hands, and then afterwards he eats it only later on. So if you look at Rashi, Kerlev Oichel, she'enu manichel oret ad shelo yivalen. The non-kosher bird, the food gets into its mouth, it goes and swallows it without being maniach ala oret. The Tzipras, however, is maniach ala oret, and that's why it's kosher. Finally, achena moiman. Shachain im tameim is tamei, im tahirim is tar. If you have a bird that you cannot tell what the simanim are, but it's a bird that lives together with non-kosher birds.
Birds of a feather.
Birds of a feather fly together.
Flock together.
Flock together. That's your word. Who says this?
It's known.
It's a known word.
Amri Inchi.
Amri Inchi. Okay. So, birds of a feather flock together. Get to this. So the Dr. Yomariyat, if it lives together with Tmeim, then you can be sure that it's a tummy. If it lives together with Tahirim, then you can be sure that it's Tar. Says Yomar, L'choyre, this Achirim goes smack like Reblezer. Come on, Reblezer. This is Sanyu Linden Abraisa. And if you remember a couple of days ago, we quoted this Gemara. Sanyu State Abraisa, Reblezer. Oimer, Loy L'chinam Holach Hazarzil Hazarzir. Eitzel Oirev. If you remember a couple of days ago, the Gemara said Eitzel Oirev Leminoi. The Blazer said Leminoi comes to include the Zarzir. The Zarzir is a bird that, although it does not have the same features as the Oirev, however, it lives together with the Oirev. It feels very comfortable among the Orvin. And therefore, the reason why it lives among the Orvin, this is not just by coincidence or happenstance. Element Neshu Minoi. Because the Zarzir is a bad bird like the Oyev bird. Bad bird in the sense that it's a not kosher bird. That's the reason why it established its residence among a community of Arvim. So that's the case, l'chor, that's word for word Achayim. Achayim say the same thing. Shachanim Tmeim Tameim Tarim Tar. Are we saying that Achayim hold like a blazer? So if you want to know, Nishkarai, the same Rabbanon, Shachin the Nidme Kamrinan. According to Rabbeleze, since Rabbeleze learns it from Eis Koylev, Leminoi, I have a special limud. So he says the zarzer only has to be shochein, that lives near the orev, and therefore it is a non-kosher bird.
So however, is that qualifier then used instead of the simanim?
You don't need to worry about the simanim.
Any simanim, you don't have to worry about anything.
You just look at the neighbors. Exactly. Now, whether this is a halacha that only applies to the zarzer and the orev, that happens to be fertile discussion among the mafarshim. But at least we know for the zarzer, you don't have to check whether the zarzer is kosher or non-kosher, whether it has simanim, not simanim. The fact that it lives among the orev, it feels comfortable among the arvim, it's considered to be a non-kosher bird. Exactly. So isn't that what the Achayim are saying too? Says, no. The Achayim, when they said Shachin and Tumayim, it has to have both. It's got to be Shachin, meaning like Reb Lezer, it's got to be Zarzul Eitz Oidev, but also Nidme. What does Nidme mean, says Rashi? It has to be similar in its features, the Marisoi, in its appearance. See, look, Rashi, Nidme, about 10 lines at the top. Dom lehem b'marisoi. So you don't have to go and check whether it has the same simanim. It doesn't have the same simanim. All you have to do is see whether it seems to have the same type of appearance, same type of features as the orev, and it lives near the orev. So whether or not the biologists, the botanists, the anatomicologists, the zoologists, whether or not they've established that this happens to be from the same mishpuch or not, doesn't make a difference to me. Bottom line is, it looks like it, it lives with them, you can assume that it's non-kosher. That's according to the Chaim. You feel free to join us if you want while it's heating up. Good. If you'd like to join us, if you have another schedule, that's up to you. And we continue on to invite to the Mishnah. Until now, we focused on the oif, and now we're going to chagovim. Chagovim, of course, are grasshoppers. And in our Mishnah, we had the grasshoppers have special simon. So let's take a look again back on Nun Tes Amid Halev. Zhok the Mishnah, a little bit past halfway down. Ubi chagovim. You know what their simonim are. They have to have four simonim. Number one, koshiyishli abar aglayim. It has to have four legs, four normal walking legs. Arba kenafayim, it has to have four wings. It has to have kartzulayim. Kartzulayim are the two jumping legs, which are very special by chagovim that you don't have by normal other animals and reptiles and etc. etc. Ukanavav roi choifen es rubai. Kenafayim means the wings that we just spoke about. They have to go and cover over the roiv. What roiv do we mean? Stay tuned to the next Gemara. And finally, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ushmai Chagov. It has to have the name Chagov. The people say, oh, this is a Chagov. So therefore, it's not enough, according to Rabbi Yossi, that they have these simonim. It has to have Shmai Chagov as well. Okay, so first we're going to focus on the Knof of Choifen es Rubai. Back to Gemara and Samach Hei Omed Aleph. And the Gemara says, just make sure it's Samach Hei Omed Aleph.
Yeah.
I know what
it's his job to go be Makar of all newcomers, and therefore he has to show you what exactly the place, even though you know where the place is. That's his job. He's such a good person, such a good hearted person. He shows me the place every day also. Good. Over Chagom Koshiyesh, like 5-6 lines before the wide lines. Yigmar says, my Ruba. What means Ruba? Amr of Yudam Rav. We have two versions of Rav said, Roiv Orkai, that the wings have to cover over the majority of the length of the chogov, of the grasshopper, meaning start from the head, go down to the tail. That is the oirach. Roiv of that oirach, it has to go and cover the amril. But there was another version, roiv the kefai, the circumference. Now, so which way is right, which way is wrong? Amra pape, hilkach, be'in and roiv orkoi, or be'in and roiv hakefai. Since it's not crystal clear. You're stealing them this time. And therefore, hilkach, as a result, you need both. It has to be roiv orkoi, or be'in and roiv hakefai. It has to be, in fact, both the roiv of the length and roiv of the circumference. So you remember that Mendy made famous in Klal Yisrael the famous word of the Teplik Aruv. The Teplik Aruv wrote that we find at the end of every Hadron, it always mentions the 10 names of the children of Rapapa. Achoy Bapapa, Rafum Bapapa, Chalobi Bapapa, Dorib Bapapa, Yabbe Bapapa, etc. 10 separate names. Why? Surcha Bapapa, yeah. So not Sircha, but Surchav. Why the 10 sons of the name of Rapapa? Because Rapapa always tried to make Shalom in Klal Yisrael. Whenever he found that there was a Machloikis, there was a dispute, he says, they say, come together, Mishalem, come together, Ba'achtus. Since the whole purpose of making a siman, a mesecht, is that everybody's together for the simcha, so we remember the schus of Rapapa. When's the last time we had such a Rapapa? We had not too long ago, almost 3 weeks ago, back on Daf Memvav Amid Aleph. Where do we have Memvav Amid Aleph? You'll remember the Gemara was talking about the fact that if you have a kaveh, which is almost totally dissolved within the body of the animal, and it was only nisher mimenu a kizayis, it's still kosher because it can regenerate itself. Now, if you look back on Mem Vav Amid Aleph, go down about 60% of the Amid, Reb Zeira Omar Luhu Arikoi, he told to the refugees, kizayish Amr b'mokim mora. The kizayis that we're talking about is not just anywhere in the covet. The covet, of course, is the liver. It's got to be that portion which is right next to the gallbladder, next to the mara. You have to have it from that place where it is attached to the rest of the animal, from where it gets its sustenance and its life. So which one is right? Is it mamakim mara or mamakim chaya or merapapa? Helkach, beinik kazayis mamakim mara or beinik kazayis mamakim shehi chaya. You have to have both, since we don't know for sure. Kol mimachmur, it has to be kazayis in both mekaynis. Since you have rapapa as a rapapa 10 times in chas, for those of you that are wondering where the other 8 times are, I have the benefit over here of the other 8. Mitchum, I'm going to send it to Barry today via yes, Shem. Exactly. So we find that often in Chas. Okay. The Keloi does, Bracha does. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so for instance, in Brachas, it says, a person goes into the Beis HaKisei. When he comes out, he should make a Bracha, Baruch Ashiyotzer Sa'odim B'chachma. And how should he end off? Roy Fechal Basar. The other one says he should end off Mafli Lasas. Hilkach Nemrin Litravai. Roy Fechal Basar. Umafli Lasas. Etc.
Mudim Durabanan is Rapapa also. There's a Machlokas. Isn't there which when you say Modin Drabanan,
we do collect them all together, and in fact the Soita Daf Mem is Man Shishliach Tzibur Oimim Moidim Ha'om Mahim Oimim Omer Rav Moidim Azoy. This one Azoy, this one Azoy, Amra Papil Kach Nemin Lekulu. Go and say all of them together, and that's why we have today's Moidim Drabanan, which is roughly 10-12 lines. It's a machloek between about 10 or 12 different Amiroim, exactly what you're supposed to say. So Papa can put them all together and merge them all as one. Anyway, so 10 such members throughout Chazal, I'll send it around, and then Barry can share it with the Chush of Oil. But getting back to our Gemara now, Tana Rabbanan. In the meantime, if you want to memorize it, Reb Shaul, you can, so you don't have to wait. No, I see you're anxious to see it already, so I don't want to hold you back. Yeah. Mendy made it famous because in the Hadron book that was published at the last Yom HaShas, Mendy had a very, very nice, beautiful article there. The Tzeplikah of Shkoyach to you. Welcome back from Eretz Yisroel. Tana Rabban. Eilei Achshe V'Osel Legadali Achre Zman Kigoyin Hazachal Is Mutter. Now we're focusing in particular upon one of the 4 simanim, and that's Asheloi Kra'ayim. The verse is Asheloi Kra'ayim. So the exact pasuk is Achazet Toichlu Mikol Sheret Toif HaHoylech Al Arba Asheloi Kra'ayim Mimal Raglav Lenater Bahein Al Art. These Kra'ayim are the 2 Karsulayim that we had in our Mishnah, those 2 jumping legs, Lenater Bahein Al Art. Now it's very interesting. This is one of those rare cases where we have a creek sieve of loy and loy, meaning it says asher loy kra'ayim imal leraglov. The way it's written in the Heidige Torah is aloy mit an aleph, which of course means no loy kra'ayim, and then we read it lamed vav. Yes, kra'ayim, it does have kra'ayim, it has these jumping legs. So make up your mind: is it aloy mit an aleph? Is it aloy mit avuv? And that's the Gemara Shaila, and Dr. Gemara is the Braisa. Engle Achshav, what happens if you bought or caught one of these Chagavim in its infancy? and you notice it doesn't have those two jumping legs, and you say to yourself, here was my chance to eat a kosher chagam and I can't eat it because unfortunately it doesn't have these two jumping legs. And then you go and bring it to someone who is more experienced, and he says, the Beisai, if you have a little bit of patience, Mechem, come back in a month or in 6 months and you'll see it's going to grow these giant legs. Do I have to wait or can I eat it already now? So says Gemara, first of all, you know what type of chagav has that quality? That's the famous zachal chagav. Rashi min chagav b'loshen Arami. In Arami, in Aramaic, that was one of the names of the various groups of chagavim of the grasshoppers. As we heist zachal. Such a situation, you want his mutter, you're allowed to go and eat it. Now, the Tanakhama doesn't explain why you're allowed to eat it, but we already gave away the clue, and that's Reb Lozen. Reb Yossi Ayim, the reason is because Asheloi Kra'ayim, Av Bishayin Le'achshav, the Yossi Le'gadol Le'achazman, by the fact that the Asheloi Kra'ayim, it's a Kriik Siv, so Loi Kra'ayim, now it doesn't have Loi Mit and Aleph, Loi Kra'ayim. But Imetrim later will be Aloi Mit Avov, it will have Kra'ayim, and therefore it's kosher, even though at the moment it's not kosher. In other words, even though at the moment it doesn't have the kraim, since it will have the kraim, it's already kosher now. My zachal, you want to know, I want to eat this zachal chagav. Rabbi, that's the famous iskira chagav. So anybody who knows what an iskira chagav is and can identify it and sees taka, the two legs are not there, but they'll be there mitchum later, you'll be able to eat it, and it's a sign go gishmak. Okay, so tomorrow night, turn around. Es eilu mehem toichelu, es ha'arbe, es ha'solam, es ha'chargoyl, v'es ha'chogav, all of them leminei. Now, we're going to have a very, very fascinating Gemara from here through the bottom of the Amud Beis into halfway down the Amud Aleph. We'll see how quickly we can go and how much we're going to go and cover. But bottom line is we're going to have now two Braises. Braisa 1, which we just started. Braisa number 2, which is two lines from the bottom of the Amud. And there's going to be a Machloikis, how we're going to learn two back-to-back Sukkim and Parshas Shmini. For those of you that have the Torah or HaSholem, in my Gemara it's a Beis and a Gimel. These two Sukkim are Vayikra Yud Aleph Chof Aleph, and then Vayikra Yud Aleph Chof Beis. What does it say in the first passage? Achazet Toichlu Mikol Sheretz Ha'oif. The term Sheretz Ha'oif over here means like Chagov, means grasshoppers. The following you're allowed to eat among the grasshoppers. Ahoy Lechalarv, it has to have the four legs. And since it's a Sheretz Oif, it has to have the Kenafayim. It has to be able to fly. In other words, it has to have those wings. Asheloi Kiro'ayim Imala Raglav. That's the Kriik Siv. It did have, it didn't have, etc. Lenat Ben Alaritz, it has to have those two Karsalayim with which it can go and do the jumping. Okay, so that's the first Pasuk. The next Pasuk is this. Eile Mehem Techele. The following you're allowed to eat. Esa'ar Belaminoi. V'yesa solom lemineu, v'yesa chargo lemineu, v'yesa chogav lemineu. So, what the Gemara is going to tell us is that kuli alma moida, that the earlier pasuk that we quoted, the first pasuk, the achaz toichlu mikol sheretz oif, that is what we would call a klal. Because it says, any type of chogav that has these kra'ayim and has the four legs and has the kenafayim, anyone that has that, kusha, 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 no questions about it. But then the next pasuk goes into what we call pratim. What are the pratim? The arbe, the solom, the chargoyl, and the chogav. The chargoyl, these were unnecessary. I didn't need this new pasuk. Just any chogav that has those qualities that we spoke about, that it has the kraim, that it jumps around, that it has wings, and it has four legs. The chargoyl is kushim yusha. What do I need this list of before? So therefore, the first price is going to say, I have a klal and a prat. Ein b'chal el mashe b'frat. These only. Well, not exactly these only. And the reason is because each one of these arbe, solom, chargoyl, and chogav has appended to it the extra word leminoi, lemineu, lemineu, lemineu. And therefore the Gemara is going to learn that it's somewhat of an expanded prat. In other words, normally klal uprat ein b'chal el mashe b'frat. What's the prat over here? We have four pratim, but the prat is not just arbe, not just solom. It's arbe leminoi, solom lemineu, chargo lemineu, chog lemineu. So it's an expanded form of prat. What are we going to do with that expanded form of prat? We're going to go and say you can add one more because that's the expanded prophet. Masha'enkein, the second brisa, which we're going to quote on the bottom, which is Tana Rebbe Shmuel, is going to say that this is a standard klal uprat uklal situation, and the words lamina laminei laminei lamineu, those are the second klolim in the klal uprat uklal. Rebbe Shmuel is going to say further that among the pratim, we don't need two of the pratim. We could suffice with just learning Arbe and Chargoyl. We don't need the Solom and the Chagav, and therefore we're going to have special drushes. That's what the Gemara is going to call Prote Protois, extra pratim, as well as what do I need the four Klolim of Leminoi, Lemineu, Lemineu, Lemineu. L'chayr will be enough to have one or two of those Klolim. What do I have to have all the four repetitious Leminoi, Lemineu? And therefore,
is there any substance difference between Mino and Minehu?
Not for purpose of our Gemara. Okay. And therefore, if you look at the very last line, which we're going to learn shortly, it says Veder Ishmael Tana, last line, Eilu Klole Klolis, means we have extra Klolis, the extra Lemineus, which are unnecessary, and we have the Prate Prates, which means we have the extra Solom and Chogov, which are unnecessary. So with this, we've given kind of a very broad brush understanding of the next Shtikl Gemara, that the first Braisa goes with a Klalu Prat, but an expanded Prat, while according to Rebbe Ishmael, we're going to have the standard klal upratu klal that we normally have, with additional pratim and additional klalim. Each one is going to go and teach us something special. It's Tana Rabban. As eilim mihem techeilu, the following you're allowed to go and eat. Es arbe leminoi, etc. v'goymer. And first the Gemara tells us, what are all of these four terms? I'm not familiar with arbe and solom. So the Gemara tells us what they are called in Aramaic. Arba, that's the Goyvoi. Solom, that's the Roshoin. Chargol, that's the Nipoil. And the Chogavze, Gadion. And there's another gears on the side, Nadion. Nadion means something that constantly moves around, which is appropriate for a grasshopper because it's constantly jumping around from place to place. Matam Elohim. So now I know the definition of each one. Okay, Shkoyach. I know that if I am walking down the street and I see a goyvoi, oh, that's the arba that it says in the Torah that you're allowed to eat. But why does it say each time the minay minayu? Matam alim lamina laminayu laminayu laminayu. Dalit pomim four times. Lahavi to go and include. One more. Tzipoyis kramim. That I learned from the arba. The yochni yerushalmis. I learned from the solam. The itzuvia. I learned from the chargoyim. And the harzavnis. I learned from the chokov. Now, are there any differences between all of these? The answer is yes. And we're going to see more about this in the Gemara in greater detail. But in our Mishnah, we only had the four different characteristics and qualities that all of the kosher chagavim have. And that is, it has to have four legs. It has to have kenafayim. It has to have that those kenafayim are covering rubai. Shaila, what's the rubai is? And Mendi, the Teplik Haruv, go and say that you have to have both the orkoi and the hekefoi. And you have to have these kraayim, these karsulayim that jump around. But in addition to that, the arba has a special quality that the others don't have. What does the arba have? Ein loy gabachas. Ein loy gabachas means it does not have a bald head. We normally think of the ball-headed eagle. You can think also of the ball-headed grasshoppers. The arba does not have a bald head because it has hair. It has hair over here and hair over there. It is not bald. Other grasshoppers are bald. Go anytime you see a grasshopper, take a look and see whether it's bald or not. So the arba has that special quality that it is not bald. And guess what? The tzipoidus akramim is just like it. So that's why if you see halfway down the Rashi's, Rashi says tzipoidus kramim min arba the ein loy gabachas v'chein le arba kilo kamon. And that's why we amarba from the extra minoy that it says arba le minoy, not only arba, but also Arba's close cousin, if you will, in the same class of the Ein Loy Gabachas types, those that don't have the bald head. Oh, Arba and Tzipor is a crop. On the other hand, the Yochna Yerushalmis, that is a part of the Lemineu of the Solom, because both the Solom and the Yochna Yerushalmis, Yeshlem Gabachas, they do have such a bald head. Oh boy, fascinating. And then we get on to Itzuvia. Itzuvia, that's the min chargol, and Rashi again says min chargol yesh loy zonov, but the shnayim harishonim, the first two, the arba and the solom, do not have a zonov. So that's what I need the mineu to go and tell you, that it's not only the chargol the yesh loy zonov, but something which is so close, mamish, a family member, the itzuvia, also yesh loy zonov. And finally, we have the harzovnis, which is like the chogov, and Rashi says min chogov vein doim la'el b'mara. Chogov is strange. It doesn't have any of the characteristics of all of the others. It's totally, it's like a separate min b'fnei atzmai. Mitchum will focus on that more on the Amid base. Anyway.
Why should that be important to us? Because we're only concerned about the four characteristics.
That's a very, very good question. As we'll see Mitchum and Nigmar on the Amid base, Rashi is going to point out each time that so kadaitach amina, I would have thought, for instance, by the Arba that you have to five characteristics, the four of our Mishnah that you're referring to, as well as number five, the Ein L'Gabachas. And then the Torah says, Solom, you only need the four, because Ein L'Gabachas is not important, because Solom, Yesh L'Gabachas. But maybe there's a fifth quality, that both of them have to be Ein Lehem Zonov, without, that's where you have to have the case of the Chargum, say, even if it has a Zonov. Stay tuned for the Gemara, you're hopping us out of the Pshat Nigmar. Anyway, so bottom line is, again, the Tanakhama holds, it's a klal mitaprat, it's not a klal uprat. A klal, it's just a klal uprat, and therefore we're going to keep the prat very well defined, special categories, mita gabachas, ona gabachas, mita zonav, ona zonav, and those include these four, the Tziporis Krum, the Yochna, the Yetzuvia, and the Harzof. The Vayner Bishmal Tana, no, it's much broader than that, it's a klal uprat, a klal. And in fact, I'm going to have extra klolim. The extra klolim are the fact that it says lamina, 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 kloloi, kloli, kloloi, vele prati, prati. So we're also going to have extra pratim, as we'll see mentioned shortly in the Gemara, that the solam and the chogav are pratim which are not necessary. And therefore, they come to tell us special libut. What's the reason why the Tanakhama only learns a klal and a prat? Why is it Tanur Rabbi Shmuel learns a klal uprat uklal? So Mietchim will see at the beginning of tomorrow's daf. Maybe we'll still learn it today, depending on how much we cover on the Amid Bay. But the daf begins tomorrow by saying, because the two klolim are not shavi lahadodi. They are not the same. Why are they not the same? Because the first klal is a very broad one that says ashaloi kra'ayim. Ashaloi kra'ayim means that the defining characteristic of the grasshoppers has to be that it has these jumping legs. The second klal is telling us all of the four qualities, those four that we spoke about in the Mishnah with the feast and the choyfenes rubai, the two different types of rubai, etc., etc. So therefore, the two klalim are not the same. Says the Tanakhama, I cannot learn a klal uprat a klal because they have to be domi lahadadi. And says Tan Rabbi Shmuel, no, that's enough. It doesn't have to be mamish exactly the same. As long as it's more or less the same, it's och kinuk for purpose of klal uprat a klal. Anyway, Mitchell will see that tomorrow, or we'll still see it today in the beginning of the next half. So let's go through now all the drushes. All of this should be pretty straightforward because we've basically given a synopsis. Bottom line of Tzamachei Amid Aleph, the last five words, we start off with the Arbe. Arbe ze goivoy. That's what we already established, that the name of Arbe is goivoy. Now the pasuk is Arbe leminoy. What does leminoy come to include? Lohavi ditzipoides kramim. What's so special about the two of them? Like Rashi said already here on the Amid Aleph, and as we'll see now on the Amid Beis, both of them, ein lehem gabach. They don't have that distinction of having a bald spot on their head. In other words, there is hair after all. L'choira, the Gemara could have characterized it a little bit differently. Instead of saying that they do not have bald heads, the Gemara could have said it in a positive way. The Yeshlem Seyar that they do have hair. So apparently it's much more common for grasshoppers not to have hair. That's a standard grasshopper. Anybody who's ever done any research in grasshoppers will probably be able to tell you the vast majority of grasshoppers are bald-headed. It's a unique situation where it does have hair. And that's why I say it's not like your normal ones that have a gabachas. This is special. It doesn't have a gabachas. Anyway, says the Gemara now, based, if it would just say arbe alone, And based on the klal uprat of klal, I would go and say anything which is ken uprat, ein li el habov vi ein legabachas. So I would say, you know what? It's not enough that the chogov or that one of these kosher grasshoppers has to have four simanim. It has to have five simanim, the four of our Mishnah, together with this simen that it doesn't have a gabachas. Habov yesh le gabachas minai. What happens if I find a grasshopper which has the four simanim of our Mishnah, but it does have a gabachas, it's bullheaded? How would I know that that's also kosher? Tamalayim, oh, that's the salam. Salam zen nipoil. Now, if you stop over here just for 1 second, salam zen nipoil, let's go back to the Amud Aleph for a moment. If you notice, on the Amud Aleph, we said, the first braisa says, arbe ze goivoi, that was consistent, salam ze roshoin. The first braisa says that the solemn is called a roshayin and the chargal is called a nipple, and now we're saying that the solemn is the nipple. Rabbi Yisai is a kefelech. Anyway, don't be too concerned. Mechem Migmor is going to ask this kasha Mechem on the Omer Aleph. Migmor is going to say Mar Ki Asrei. In different places they had different names, they called it different names, but it's really, when there's no machloikas over here, it's just in terms of the custom and usage in the various makaitis. Anyway, if you want to take a quick look at Samach Vov Amid Aleph, here about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amid, Maishna Hosan the Amr Solom Zeroshin, and Chargal Zenipel, or Maishna Hocha the Amr Solom Zenipel, and Chargal Zeroshin, Mar Ki Asrei. In different places they call it by different names. So don't be too upset. Hazoi Gaitis. So getting back now to our Gemara, now Samach Hei Amid Beis, we have over here Solom Zenipel. Now that's Solom, okay. But what is Lemineu? Lemineu Lehovi as a Ushkif. That comes to include the Ushkif. Now that's also somewhat problematic, because back on the Omer Aleph, when we were including something in the Solom, we said that's the Yochna Yerushalmis. And Rashi says, not just Stam, we took it out of the hat. The Yochna is a min Solom to Yesh Loi Gabachas. So why on the Omer Aleph did we say that, according to the earlier Braisa, that Lemineu includes the Yochna, and according to this Braisa, it includes the Ushkif? What are you going to say about that? So it's not my Kasha. Rashi already asked this Kasha. And Rashi says, we could have said Yochna also. We just kind of chose one out of a couple that have this special quality. If you look at the Rashi, Tamaloy Mesolam Ze Nipoil, about 10 lines in from the top of the Amid, Ulaze Yeshka Bachas, Dechshira Kosef. That we know now that not having a Gabachas is not important, because Solom has a Gabachas, and it's still kosher. V'hodekos l'mineu, liois klal, that's to go and tell you, I'm being kolel, that's the klal uprat uklal. V'lidon im asher loikra'ayim, b'chlal uprat uklal. Umeyvi b'ken uprat, what does he bring ken uprat? It's a doimaloi. What's the doimaloi? Dainu ushkif. That's the ushkif which we just spoke about. Now besides the ushkif, says the Gemara, v'uadin liyachli yushalmis. Not only the ushkif, we had on the Omer Aleph liyachli yushalmis. So we see have both of them. V'chad minayin nokat, and we chose, Chazal chose one out of the two, diyesh legabachas, but really doesn't make any difference, because we are just choosing ini, mini, mini, mo. On the Omer Aleph we said yachli yushalmis. Here we're saying that it's the ushkif, but both of them have that same quality, like the solom, that they are bald headed, that yesh lehem gabachas. Good. So now returning to our Gemara on the third line. So now, Baruch Hashem, we've established that in addition to the four regular simanim, you could have a case of a grasshopper that has no gabachas, and you can have a grasshopper that has a gabachas. Zot Imar, third line. The ainli el haba, the ainli gabachas. If somebody brings in front of you a chogav that does not have a gabachas, you know that it's kosher, because it's like the arbe. Of course, all based on that it has the four simonim of our Mishnah, of the Kra'ayim, that it jumps, and the four, and the Kra'ayim, and then the Choyfin Esrubay, like we had in our Mishnah. But in addition to that, if it doesn't have a Gabachas, no problem, because Arba is the role model of the grasshoppers that don't have a Gabachas, and it's kosher. How about the Yeshla Gabachas? What happens if you find one that has a Gabachas? Also kosher. Why? Because we learned that from the case of the Solom that has the Gabachas. Habav ein loizonov. If you have a grasshopper that comes that does not have a tail, also kosher. Why? Because the first two that we just enumerated, both the arbe and the solom, ein lehem zonov. How do I know that they both don't have a zanav? Well, Rashi already said that back on the Omer Aleph. If you remember, Rashi irtsuvya, Rashi said about 12 lines on the bottom, min chargo the yesh loy zanav, ulishnaim rishoinim ein zanav. The arba and the solom do not have a tail. And therefore, tonight of the Gemara, maybe, you know, when do you have a kosher grasshopper, it has to have the four qualities, plus one more that ain't loy zanav, just like the other two. The Arab and the Solom both do not have the Zanav. Maybe you have to make sure that there are five qualifications, five criteria that ain't lem Zanav. How do I know that even if it has a tail, it could still be kosher? Tamaloyma chargol zerosh and ah, mazel tov. The chargol baruch Hashem has a Zanav, and it's kosher, and that's why the Torah has to go and tell us that I have not only those. Okay.
No
grasshopper in the Afrikaan. So even though it has a tail, it is kosher v'yusher. No problem. They're chargol. They're Russian. And again, this is the Russian and the nipoil that are being exchanged that we pointed out earlier.
Markas.
Why don't we just? We have the four characters from the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be. That's it. And so what is Baal, not Baal?
Yeah, because all these. I have a chart here from the Levenger book, and he shows that of the dozen or so we're going to go through, some have a galacha, some have a zanah, some have a shara.
Exactly.
So it doesn't. None of these are decisive for the kashrus of chagallah.
You know why? Because of today's Gemara.
Okay.
Lulei today's Gemara, if it would only say in the Torah, Arab Eliminoi, stop, I would say that there are five qualities, or maybe six qualities. The four that we have in the Mishnah, in addition to that has to be that it does not have a bald head, that Ein Loi Gabachas, and also it has to be the Ein Loi Zanav. If I find a grasshopper that has the four qualities, and Chuli Levachas, if it has a Gabachas, or it has a Zanav, maybe it will be not kosher. Maybe you wouldn't be able to eat it. Oh, that's why you have to have the arba. Mit the solom, mit the chargol, to tell you nothing to worry about, Rabbi Yisai, because bottom line, it's only the four qualities and not the fifth. What would be possibly the fifth? The absence or the presence of a gabachas, or the absence or the presence of a tail, that might be the deciding fifth factor. No, there's no fifth column over here, no five factors, only four factors.
Good question.
Yeah,
I would say, in the case of behemoths, in the case of Ophos, we never had encountered these empirical surveys of different qualities of the animals to exclude or include.
Mm-hmm.
Only here are we suddenly introducing all of these other additional questions and saying, we didn't say, well, if it's we had all these the horn, the this, that, all these things. It has these qualities. The Torah says that's it. The Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of Ophos, we didn't have him in the Torah. We just had him in the Sorah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are we suddenly, with Chagavim, introducing all of these different other qualities that, except for this Gemara, we would consider them as factors in the consciousness of the Chagavim?
Because in the Torah, it tells you by the Simone Behema Vachaya, the specifics. It's got to be Maligera or Mafrise Parsa. Then they don't start having minoy, mineu, and they don't start listing all of the kosher animals. All I have this two list, and this list of two is exclusive. As long as you make sure that it's a choose its cut, and it has split hooves, kushav yush, and nothing.
By Ophos, but you're true by animals, by Ophos, and by animals and fish, yes, but by Ophos, we didn't have this.
I guess we don't have any list in the Torah at all. It's all based on what the Chacham told us. This about whether it's toidus or not, whether it has an etzba yaseid, whether it has a crop. None of that is in the Torah. It's all Allah HaMoshe Mishinai. So therefore we don't have the benefit of extra psukim, mekolim, or pratim, mekolim, to go and add or subtract or to ask these types of questions. Anyway, so bottom line is, so what have we established so far? We've established that the Arba is kosher, and the Arba does not have a gabachas, it doesn't have a bald spot, it doesn't have a bald head, and also does not have a zanav. The Solom is also kosher, notwithstanding the fact that although it doesn't have a zanav, but it has a gabachas. Also kosher. What about the case of the chargol? The chargol both has a gabachas and it has a zanav, and it's also kosher. Minayin tamalei chargol zeh roshen. Now, what does lemineil come to you? Lahov v'es hakarsefes v'es hashachlonis. We didn't have these words before. Back in the Omer Aleph, we added the irtsuvia. So, what's the difference between the irtsuvia and the karsefes and the shachlonis? Here, Rashi is a little bit more liberal, if you will. Rashi says, just like we said before, that although the Gemara, the Amar Allah said Yochni Yerushalmis, here it says Ushkif, says Rashi Chod Minayu Nokat. So Rashi says that as one of the Pshatim here too, that Hu Adin, the same thing would be Eretzuvia. But Rashi says Inami, it could be that it has two names. It could be that the same grasshopper is both called Eretzuvia and it's called Karsefes or Shachlonis. It has multiple names. And therefore, Rashi doesn't conclude whether or not it had multiple names, or these just happen to be all of the same class of special grasshoppers that both Yesh Lehem Gabachas, the Yesh Lehem Zonot. Says Imar. So what have I accomplished so far? The Einli Ela Habo, the Einli Gabachas. So far I've covered the Einli Gabachas as a result of the Arbe. I've also covered Habo the Yesh Lehem Gabachas. That's as a result of the Solom. I've also had included Habo ve'en le'zanav, because in fact both the Arba and the Solom ein lehem zanav. So that's also included. I also have Habo ve'yesh le'zanav, because that was the Chargol. Chargol has both a Gabachas and a Zanav. Baruch Hashem. So far again we're proving that the important thing is the four exclusive simonim of our Mishnah. Yo Gabachas, Nish Gabachas, Yo Zanav, Nish Zanav. That's not ma'akiv. That is not one of the criteria.
That's according to Rabbi Shmuel.
That's according to Tan Rabbi Shmuel, exactly. We'll see at the very end of the Gemara that the earlier Braisa agrees with that in concept as well, even though it doesn't spell it out, but it agrees to the same halacha as well. But now the Gemara adds yet another dimension or quality that we didn't mention until now. Habo v'ein roshei aruch. All of the foregoing, the Arba and the Solom and the Chargol, they don't have long heads. They have relatively short heads. What happens is Habo v'roshei aruch minayin. What happens if you have now a brand new grasshopper that comes on the scene? It has this huge head. Would that be kosher or not? Because it doesn't have one of those qualities. Says Imar Amris. Here we're not going to learn anymore with a klal or prat klal, but rather we're going to learn based on a binyan av. Hari ata don binyan av mishloshtan. Most of the time binyan av is from two. We're going to learn binyan av from all three, meaning from the Arba, from the Solom, and the Chargol. What are we going to go and say? We're going to say, Loi re'i Arba k're'i Chargol. The Arba and the Chargol are very different, because the Arba ain loy gabachas, and the Arba ain loy zonav. The Chargol, on the other hand, yesh loy gabachas, v'yesh loy zonav. So the Arba is different than the Chargol. And the same thing, Loi re'i Chargol k're'i Arba, for the same reasons, because the Chargol has both the Gabachas and the Zonav. Arba has neither Gabachas nor Zonav. V'lo yiri ishneim k'ri isolam, v'lo yiri isolam k'ri ishneim. And the first two, meaning the Arba and the Chargol, are not like the Solom. The Arba is not like the Solom, because the Arba ain loy Gabachas, the Solom yesh loy Gabachas. Same thing is, the Chargol is not like the Solom. Why not? Because the Chargol, we said, yesh loy zonav, and the Solom ain loy zonav. And for the same reason, loy Solom k'ri ishneim. In other words, it goes both ways. But at Tzad HaShevashim, a bottom line is that all three of them, meaning the Arba, the Solom, and the Chargol, all of them yesh loy dal raglayim, and they have the Arba k'nafayim, and they have the kartzulayim, these jumping legs, asher k'ayim lenatav hein al oretz, and uknav v'chayv hein esrubay. Of course, yesh loy Arba raglayim, all of them will be included, and therefore that will include even the grasshopper sheyesh loy roishoy oruch. And that's the conclusion of this shtickle. There are a few words, the key words which are missing, but that's what Rashi inserts over here, that I learned from this mahatzad, from this binyan av, from all three, that it's not just those qualities that we have, but also comes to be marba, the type of chagov, the type of grasshoppers that roishoy oruch. The Gemara is going to ask in another few moments, when we get to it in Mitzvim shortly, l'choyda, this doesn't really make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because any time you're trying to learn something from a mahatzad or from a binyan av, you can always ask a pircha. And the pircha over here would be mal atzad hashloshtom, that all three of them Ein lehem roishoy aruch. And therefore maybe the Torah is telling us that there is a fifth quality, not only the four that we enumerated here in the Gemara and back in the Mishnah, but also have to make sure the ein lehem roishoy aruch. How can you go and learn from the ke'en aprat to be marbe something which is not ke'en aprat? What's not the Ken of Prat? The one that has a Roshi Orach, which is not an Arbe, and it's not a Solomon, it's not a Chagol, a Zivran. See, Mor is going to ask that in another few lines. We're going to get to it in Mir Shem shortly. But before we get to that, the Gemara says, one second, please. You're telling me about that as long as you have these four qualities, it's kosher. Aye, Baloya Tzirtzur Hazeh, the famous Tzirtzur grasshopper.
None of them.
Which, Yeshli Arbor Aglaim, it has all four legs. And it has Dala Kenafayim, and it has the Karzulayim, and the Kenaf of Chayvin is Ruba. And therefore, by definition, Yachli Mutter Shalchayrit Shebein Mutter, Tamaloyim. That's why I have Chagav. Oh, I didn't know what I needed Chagav for. I need Chagav, Shishmai Chagav. It has to have the name Chagav. What means it has to have the name Chagav? It's only a kosher grasshopper if it's also called Chagav. And that's what we have in the Mishnah. If you remember, the Yossi Omer, it had to have the name Chagav. So it's not enough just to have these four qualities.
Kosher?
Sorry?
No.
Tzitzur is not kosher. The reason why it's not kosher, even though it has the four qualities, because people do not call it Chagav. They don't call it Chagav. That was what we had in the Mishnah, the Yossi Omer, Ushmoy Chagav. It has to have the name Chagav.
And then the four Arbe and Solom, the cargo
are they're all
called Chagav.
Exactly. Now, Mamish, you're mechavin to the Heilige Rashi. Look in the wide lines of Rashi, Rashi number fourth and the fifth line. It's first of all, Hatzir Tzur, says Rashi, Min Chagav Tamei. That's a non kosher grasshopper, right? With the fourth line of the wide lines. You have that, Achush Begas? Fourth line of the wide lines. Hatzir Tzur, Min Chagav Tamei. It's a non kosher species of grasshopper. Tamalem Chagav. We don't need the Chagav. We already went through this in 1,000 times. Right. One second. So why did I have to be Chagav? To tell you, Hashem, Chagav. This is Reb Daniel's point. All those that we enumerated before, the Arbe, the Solom, the Chargoyle, and all of those others that we included, those are the Ushkiv, and the Yochno, and the Karsefez, the Shachlonis, the Allah Gutter Gutter Zachin, they're all called Chagav Shemam Chagav. But the Tzirtzur, nobody calls it a Chagav. So and anybody that calls it a Chagav, you don't give them an aliyah to the Torah. You say you're telling a lie. It's fake news.
Hold on.
I'm not going to.
Rashi says, Min Chagav Tomei. It is called a Chagav.
Rashi means it colloquially. He doesn't mean in the terms of that we call it a Chagav Tomei. It is a type of grasshopper that it is Tomei.
So is it a hyphenated name?
No.
Is it Arba Chagav or.
It's all within the Chagav family.
Gotcha.
There will be people that will call it individually with a name Arba, or with the individual name of Goyvoy, which is the Aramaic name.
It's a family name.
Exactly. It's the family of grasshoppers. But if anybody goes and tells you that a Tzirtzur is a grasshopper, you tell them, mister, you got it all wrong. You haven't learned today's Gemara. Tzirtzur is not a Chagav. It's a Tomei, but it's not a Chagav. It's not
it really all comes down to Mesorah, because if it doesn't Mesorah, that the name is because the Tzirtzur, if people were to start calling Tzirtzur, it's a Chagav, after a few Doros, if people called it a Chagav, it would have the name Chagav, but without the Mesorah, it's not kosher.
And that's the reason why the Gemara said the other day that you have to be Baki Behenu Bishmoyseyam. Of course, it's not what you call it and I call it, it's what the Heilige Torah calls it. So if the Torah calls these preceding ones, that the Arbe, Mithi Solom, Mithi Chagol, those are Chagovim, but Tzirtzur is not a Chagov, so you can stand on your head, you can call it Chagov as many times as you want, you can even legislate it and change the American Constitution and add an amendment to call it Chagov, said the Gunish Elfin, because the Torah doesn't call it Chagov, therefore it's not kosher. So maybe now the deciding factor is just that it's called Chagav. Maybe you don't even need any of the Siman. I'm afraid Timara, Ishmael Chagav, Yochel Einbay called the Siman Malol. Maybe that's the only determining factor. Is it called Chagav? Tamaloyme Limineo, the Chagav Limineo. Achibay called the Siman Malol. You have to have 5 Simanim altogether, according to this Braisa, the 4 enumerated ones, and that it's old school Chagav, and then it's kosher.
The following story, Frank Yevsky was once learning this sugya, and he did not have an understanding of what the Gemara was implicating, and out of nowhere, a grasshopper flew onto his shtenta.
Mm-hmm.
He'll study it, and that answered his question.
Mm-hmm.
So, second Shemaya, he learned
Torah,
and Hashem
shadless to choose in Shemayim.
Mm-hmm. In fact, what you're saying, right, Mendy, but there's a sequel to the story. First of all, the reason why we're studying Chagavim is because Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote a whole sefer called the Kani Chagavim. Can you imagine? A ganze sefer all about grasshoppers.
I'm talking about Chumash and Pesach.
Yeah, he has about 50 svarim already, if not more.
Kani Chagavim is the zman of Mechametz.
So not for naught is he considered the God of Hadars. He had a whole sefer on Chagavim. And this story was told, that Mendy just said, that whilst he was studying it, he was niskasha on an aspect of Chagavim. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent him a special. So then the story is told, the sequel, that there was a yeshiva where the Rebbe was teaching this to the Talmidim, and he was telling them, can you imagine such a Siyat Shmai, such a tzaddik, such a god? And one of the Talmidim was poo-pooing, he doesn't believe it, he says, come on, it can't be. And the next day when they came into the shir, he comes in, the window was open, all of a sudden about 25 grasshoppers came onto his shtender, onto his table, and then he said, I'm sorry, I was revazed the covenant of the grace of Goyim and grace of Tzaddik. It's true, Taka the Chagavim came, and it's 100%.
Theoretically, Kosher Marketplace could open a special section of their freezer department of grasshoppers.
Well, today, we Ashkenazim don't have Masoid about all of these things.
Right.
However, there are Taimina that do have, and in fact, even today, you have Yemenite people from them, maybe Moroccans as well. Those that have the Masoira can continue eating it. I've never seen it, but I was told by friends of mine that they were sitting at a shir outside in the lawn during the summer or something, where it was nice and warm outside, or nice, cool, whatever it was, and they were learning, and all of a sudden a couple of grasshoppers, it was a Taman or a Moroccan, and he took it, Baruch Hatta, and he ate it.
It doesn't eat shchita, but it could be a fish.
No, I heard that he ate it raw. But I assume shahakal, just like meat or fish.
Maybe it's like a chag of sushi.
Yeah, maybe a chag of sushi. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, zolzana zay. I think you have to kill that. I don't think you can eat it alive. That thing's in a batsu shaktsu. Just like fish, you don't have to shakta, but you can't eat it alive. But anyway, that's not for today. Go and ask your taimin and your Moroccan friends what they do when they have this situation. So getting back to our gemara.
Parach
Rabachoy. So Rabachoy asked. We already asked this kasha a couple of moments ago. We said that we have a mahatzad of the arbe, the solam, and the chargoyl to teach us to include not only those which ain roishon oruch, but also those that roishon oruch. Feita b'choy, why? Mal hanoch shekein ain roishon oruch. The piruch is obvious that the only thing that I can learn from the three together with a mahatzad is the lowest common denominator, and the lowest common denominator is besides having the four big simonim of our Mishnah, ein roish and oruch. So how can you go now and include a fourth one where roish and oruch? Vechitei, maybe you're going to go tell me. Kim deshav ubedalat simonim, my sinon v'loy parchinon. Kim, they happen to be the same in four simonim. Therefore, you can include this one, and there is no more pircha. You can go and include this one, meaning those that roish and oruch, and don't ask any questions.
Pircha
means not ask a question. Don't ask a pircha. As long as they have the big four, that's the common denominator of these other three, the arba, the solem, and the chargol. The fact, your roish and oruch, nish roish and oruch, nish gefeirlich. The important thing, it has to have tali simonim. If that's the case, chargol nami, the shovilu. After all, the chargol was also the same as the arba and the solem regarding the four simonim. And you said, but one second, both of those do not have a zonav. What about the one that has a zonav? Why are you even asking that question? Who cares? Your zonav, nish zonav.
Right.
It has the four qualities. So you see from this that the fact that it has the four qualities is not enough. You also have to have a special limit to go and tell you, yeah, but the others don't have a zonav. What's the mitzvah zonav? You have to have a chargal. So say the same thing by Roshi Aruch. All three of these, Roshan Einam Aruch, Ein Roshim Aruch. So how do you know the one that Roshan Aruch? How could you go and learn it from those three together? So tomorrow, why don't you say Yochi Chargol Nami the Shavilahu? So tomorrow, Loi Lichtoiv, Vitei say Mi Arba the Solom. Don't write Chargol in the Torah and just say, I learned it from Arba the Solom. I Arba the Solom, Ein Lem Zonav. And this one, the Chargol, Yesh Lem Zonav. Who cares? The important thing is the big four. So the reason why you couldn't learn it from Arben Salam, because so we're stuck with our question, says Rav Achoy, how do you learn from these three to go and include those that Yeshlem Roshan Aruch? Maybe the common denominator is that Ein Roshan Aruch. Ela Omer Rav Achoy, Lifo says Rav Achoy, we have to learn the limud a little bit differently. Solom Yesero. The whole solom in this pasuk is ibrik. It's redundant. We don't need it. We could have satisfied ourselves with the arba and with the chargoyl. Why? Because like lich the brachmon is solom. Forget about solom. Leave out solom. But take me arba b'chargoyl. To my parches, how would you ask your pecha? You're going to go and say, I can't learn it from arba because mala arba de ein le gabachas. Masha enkin the solom yesh le gabachas. Hari chargol the yesh le gabachas. We see that that's not a defining quality because chargol has a gabachas and it's kosher. So you can say, yeah, but mala chargol the yesh le zonav. Oh, masha enkin the solom doesn't have a zonav. Har arba de ein le zonav. And therefore, either way that you're going to try to be dochemi and say, no, Solom is not kosher. It's not like the Arbit because it doesn't have a gebachas and this has a gebachas. Big deal. Chargol has a gebachas. Ah, you're going to go and tell me you can't learn from Chargol because Chargol has a zonav and this doesn't have a zonav. Arbit also doesn't have a zonav. So, Lord Izek, Rizel, Izek, Rizel, they both happen to be kosher because they have the four defining qualities and the yesh le zonav or ein le zonav or the yesh le gebachas, ein le gebachas as le ma'ala, v'loy moira doesn't really care. It doesn't count. So Solom because of Rachman lovely. Why did it say Solom? Oh, in the gufay today in the roishe aruch. I don't need the Solom to go and tell you about your gabachas, nish gabachas, your zonav, nish zonav. That's already covered by the arba and by the chargoyle. Since it's ibrik, ibrik means it's totally superfluous. It's going to come to tell you the roishe aruch dimension.
Yeah. The Solom doesn't have a roish aruch.
But that's the case of in the gufay. I don't need taka the gufay. I don't need the. The absence of the Roshan Aruch.
So we're learning the opposite then.
Look at the last Rashi on the Amid. Tanei Inyan. Zumida Batayra. Dover She'ena in the Gufa. If I don't need it for itself. That's a general rule in Taya. Good. Anyway, so with this we've concluded the two Brises. That easy first two line Brisa. And then this long Brisa we were discussing now for the full Amid base.
So the difference between. When he said that Pratu Klalu Flatem, oh,
Klalu Pratu Klalu, that's what we're going to address right now. Shkoya for giving us the segue to the next Shikul Yimar. Zok Yimar, the Mai Kamiflagi, what's the difference between Tana Dvei Rav, that means the first Brisa, although the first Brisa of Yimar didn't identify as Tana Dvei Rav, but Rashi says since it happens to be in Vayikra, Vayikra is all Sifra, and that's all part of Sifra Dvei Rav, so that's why it's called Tana Dvei Rav. And Tana Rabbi Shmuel says, the famous Tana Rabbi Shmuel, what's the Nafkimina? Oh, Baroshi Aruch Kamiflagi. By this din of the Roshi Aruch, do you need do you include Roshe Oruch as a kosher grasshopper or not? Tanad Rav Sofer. It says in the Pasuk, Ashloi Kra'ayim Klal. Ar Besolom Chargol Chogav Leminayu Prat. Notice he throws in Leminayu as part of the Prat. The Arba, the Solom, the Chargol Chogav, and their immediate class of citizens or grasshoppers, that's the Prat. Klal Uprat Ein Bechalem Asher Befrat. Dmine in the lav dmine loy, it's got to be mamish those that we mentioned, which would not include roishay aruch, because all of them ain lehem roishay aruch. And if umamabi didomile mishnei tzedakim, we're going to only include those which are similar in two respects. What means in two respects? Respect number one, Rashi doesn't say what the Shnei Tzedadim are, but the Mefarshim explains Shnei Tzedadim means number one, that it has those four qualities that we had back in our Mishnah. And number two, that Ein Roisham Aruch. That's the only case. Roisham Aruch, no good. But then Rishmol Savar, Asher Lo Yikre Ayim is a Klal, Arba Solom Chargol Chogav is a Prat, Leminayu Choza V'Kolal, Klal Uprat Uklal. Even bechadzad. What means bechadzad? As long as it has the four simonim, right? Even though they all happen to be ein roish amaruch, and we're trying to be marbe roish amaruch, that's fine because that doesn't matter. The important thing is that the four qualities are the same by all, whether your Tanish Roshim Aruch is Lemara Lemale Veloy Marit. Fakti Mar, but how does son Rabbi Shmuel learn the first klal and the second klal? But Leidomi Klala Kam Klala Basra. The two klalim have a different quality to them. Klala Kam Ashaloy Kraim Omarachmana to Islay Achoil to Lesle Loya Seichol. From that passing, it sounds like the key to identifying the kosher chogav, the kosher grasshoppers, does it have these two jumping legs or not? Well, Kol Basra had to show Barbasimanim. The second one, the second klal, by having the words Lemina, 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 comes to always include all of those four. So it seemed to be that the two klalim are not Shavu Lahadadi, so maybe you can't learn a klal or prat to klal. And in fact, that's what the Gemara is saying. That's why the Tanit Veirav did not learn with a klal or prat to klal. He only learned with a klal or prat, because he said the two klalim ain't him Shavim Lahadadi.
Not in balance.
Says the Gemara, Tamri Shmuel, Beklal Yoprati Ki Agav Nadoin. Tamri Shmuel has a Shita. After all, Rabbi Shmuel is the famous codifier of the 13 Midai, and therefore, obviously, he was an expert in this field. And he said that by the klal or prat to klal, can you doin, you can be done even if the klolim are not exactly the same. Udramina nabi bi alma de doin. Whenever you find in Shas such a rule of klal uprat to klal, where the two klolim are not exactly balanced, they're not exactly the same. Tan Rabbi Shmuel the klal uprat to kei gavna. That's what Tan Rabbi Shmuel learns as his shita. Where is the makar? Where is the role model? Mehacha. This is the place. So when you come to Masechtas Brachos, or Masechtas Erevin, or Masechtas Erchin, or Masechtas Menachos, or anywhere, where Tan Rabbi Shmuel has a klal uprat to klal, and the two klolim are not shavu ladadi, and you're wondering, where does he take this from? Mehacha. This is unzri gemara. From the fact that the first one, Kriyayim, is the Klal, which is only the Gabi, the Kriyayim. The Laminei was much broader to go and tell you not only the din of Kriyayim, but all four. They're not Shavu Ladadi. Makes no difference. You're going to learn a Klal, Uprat, Uklal. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael. Zagi Benjamin.